Pablo for breakfast.
Anton Guinea, he's a safety and leadership expert, joins us on the phone today to discuss Australia's riskiest jobs and why are they. Anton, good morning.
Pablo, thanks for having me, mate, and what a great topic, eh?
Am I safe in the studio here?
Pablo, let me ask you this. Are you a machinery operator, a labourer, a technicians and trade worker, or, get this, a manager?
No, I'm none of them. I mean, I operate a computer, but I reckon it's pretty safe.
Mate, you're going to be okay, I think, given the statistics. Let me get my tongue around that, especially for 2020, mate, at least. So you're right.
So what are some of the things you've delved into this? You looked at the stats. Quite a few fatalities that you haven't heard of. What sort of really stood out to you?
Oh, Pablo, I think probably the manager one stood out a little bit. But even as a manager, and you could go into the data even further, I'd say there was probably a manager on an industrial site that's not aware of what's going on. So we had, well, let's even just say the 2018 data at the moment. So the last couple of years, we've seen a trend up in workplace fatalities in Australian workplaces, which really sucks. So, and they've gone up from like the 140 for the year to 183, you know, and 183 Australians lose their life at work every year, or they did in 2019, and then 2020 came down to 178, and it's just still too many people, Pablo, and,
absolutely.
You know, I just hope you and I, and I hope the people around us, that are all staying safe at work. And so what the data's telling us, mate, is that if you're a machinery operator and driver, so if you're in the transport industry, or you're an operator of any sort of mobile kit, so we're talking excavators, we're talking forklifts, but you know, all of that stuff, man, you're in a high-risk job. You're in Australia's highest-risk job, Pablo.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I think, those ones, you kind of recognise the fact, you're operating a big, heavy machinery. But as you mentioned, the manager one, it's a bit of a curveball.
It is. It's a weird one. And we probably have to go into that a little bit further. Like I say, you can only see a certain level of data. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that wants to do this, just Google Workplace Fatalities Australia, and you get all of this data, which is... And it's quite sobering, Pablo, because what happens is you can get on all the email lists from Workplace Health and Safety WA or Workplace Health and Safety Queensland and all these other places, and you'll get an email one day and that says, oh, we've had another fatality at work. And you know, they're emails that if you're close enough to it, like I am, so I was a tradesman, and the reason that you and I are talking, mate, now is because I actually got blown up in a switchboard as a young man, and had my face blown off and my hands sort of, all the skin on them bone. I spent a month in the burns unit and couldn't wipe my backside for a month, and no one does that quite as well as you do, just so you know, Pablo. sorry to share too much info in a breakfast program. So that's why you and I are talking, because I sort of changed my career focus to really doing something about this, Pablo. You know, we've got machinery operators, we've got labourers, we've got tradespeople that are being killed each year at work. And you know, the sad part about it, mate, is most of those are preventable. Mm. This is Workplace Health and Safety 101. Most, so 96 to 99% of workplace injuries, including fatalities, can be prevented.
So are there any key things, Anton, that we could do when we're especially out on site operating that heavy machinery? Is there a couple of tips sort of that we should be doing, some things we should focus on a bit more?
Yeah, mate, probably the biggest one, Pablo, is I'd say, and these two words called safety leadership, mate. I know, you know, they're big words and they're like, holy dooly, how do you do that? Well, a lot of the workplace incidents and fatalities are caused by people that are making decisions based on other people's priorities. Now, let me unpack that just in a second, because I know we don't have too long. When an organisation says we're going to put a schedule or time or money or something else above people's safety, guess what? That's where we have issues. So it's up to people that lead organisations to step back. So let's cast our mind back to the Pink Bats incident, where we lost four Australians in a government-funded program. One of the key findings from the coroner's report of those four people that were fatally injured was there was no safety leadership, which means there's no one looking out for other humans, supervisors, leaders, looking out for people and saying, hey, slow down. Hey, let's put safety first. And, you know, in organisations where schedule and budget are tight, people put safety second, Pablo, and all of a sudden we have something happen. And so safety leadership's a big one, mate. And the next one is, I'm going to say, take ownership and responsibility. Look around. Slow down. the most recent fatality in Queensland, or one of the recent fatalities in Queensland, was on a property, and yes, agriculture is a risky business, was a telehandler or a big forklift. One worker just backed over his fellow worker, and that fellow worker was killed. You know, like, this is how quickly it happens, Pablo. So if I can give people out there some advice, and thank you for having me, and all your listeners out there, if you're a leader, please think safety number one. Care for the people that are in your team. Number two, slow down, look around, take your time. You can change your life or others on the positive by just slowing down.
More info, antonguinea.com.au. And thanks for joining us on the phone today. We appreciate it.
Been a pleasure, Pablo. Thank you, mate.
Bye. Pablo for breakfast.